Okay, a wonderful new day in which we begin the incredible ideas of Elutre Foot. So before we begin, I'm sure you have your little anatomy charts, whatever they are. And before we begin, let me just point out the way we're going to go about this in the Gemara is that we have a magic number. And we have the magic number of Yudches Trefot. Now that magic number can be made into Yudches Trefot in many, many different ways. Because in reality, if you take a look at the Rambam's list of the Trefos, he's got 70 different Trefot. And the way that we're going to utilize the Mishnah is, of course, in classic Mishnah fashion, in which the Mishnah is going to expand into all kinds of different sets and different remosim. And the 18, which, of course, is Nogea Chai, becomes important over here in the Machlokas about whether Trefa Chaya or not. Is Trefa itself, we saw some of this before when we were talking about Misukenet, is Trefa by definition a death sentence of kind, and it's just a matter of time, but we consider that what the condition represents is terminal, or is that not necessarily so? This is a Machloket, as we'll see in the Gemara. But let's start first by being very naive, and let's believe that the 18 Trefas that are listed in the Mishnah are actually 18 trefas that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Sinai, and that this represents the full halacha Moshe Sinai. Elu trefot bivehima. So the following are trefot, and many of them we're familiar with, and actually many, one of them, the opening one, we realize isn't even true. Remember the two first cases in it, Guvata Veshet Upsukata Gargaret. So the Veshet, the esophagus, only has a hole in it that already makes it a trefa. But remember that the Kana is not going to be possible but trefas, but the hole in it. It's only Nifsal if it's actually Rubo is cut. That, remember, before was a machlokas in which Rabbi Akiva finally gave up and he admitted, you're right, this is not really trefas. This would be, because remember that trefas, if you shech trefas, then it becomes tor midei nevela. But if you shecht a psukas hagargeres, as the Mishnah came out before, kol psul b'shchita is a nevela. And therefore, you can't really call this a trefa because it has made the animal into an impossible to shecht animal. So it's really a pagam in the shechita itself. Once there's a psukas hagargeres. And then the Mishnah Gemara asked before, so why does it say this in the Mishnah here? And what we came out with was the rule, Mishnah lo zaza mimikoma. Once already this Mishnah had been kavua, according to the original opinion of Rabbi Akiva, we didn't move it, and we leave it as a record of the development of the halacha. Okay, moving on. So now we've got the first two. The third is Nikev Krum Shel Moach. This is where the cranial membrane was made a hole through it. And Nikev Halev Lebet Halalo. If the heart had a hole through the heart muscle into the chamber. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss when you say chalalo, I mean, what chamber are you referring to? But we'll talk about that when we get to the Gemara later. Nishbra hashidra v'nifsaka chuchala. If the spine was broken and the spinal cord actually was slit, it became torn. Now, the truth is we don't really need to have the shidra broken. It's just that's usually how these things happen. But as we'll see, it's the spinal cord that's important here more than the nishbara shidra. As far as the shidra is concerned, we're going to have some details about detached ribs and vertebrae that have been pulled out, things like that, that we're going to talk about separately. So nishbara number 5, actually, we should go through them one by one. That way we'll see that it's 18, even though this is not the real 18, as we're going to rapidly find out. So let's start with number 1, Nikuvata Vesha. Number 2, Psukata Gargaret, which isn't even really one of the trefas, because it turns out that it makes the neck unsuitable for shechita. Number 3, the cranial membrane, Krum Shel Moach, with a hole. Number four, a hole through the heart, all the way into, we'll see what it's referring to, what chamber of the heart it's referring to. Okay, that was number four. Number five was the case of the spinal cord, even though it says over here both nishpra shidra, the important thing was nifzak achut. Number six, nital hakaved velo nishtar hemenu klum. This was another one of those things that people used to make fun of, because until fairly recently, it was believed that the liver would not generate unless most of it actually was left, and now it's become common practice to actually do liver transplants with pieces of liver. And as the Mishnah says, that indeed the only time that a liver is considered to be a trefa is if there's nothing left to regenerate. But if something is left of the liver to regenerate, it's not a trefa. Harea shenikva, if there's a hole through the rea, so this is a puncture hole, o shechasra, or it's missing a piece. Now you'd think, well, if it's missing a piece, it must have a hole, but not true. Because it could be missing internally, while externally there is no hole that's actually going through it. So this is a chasra bifnin. So we've been talking about different things. We've been talking about psuka. We've been talking about chasera. We've been talking about nikva. So these, note that these are different types. And that's going to be very important later when we try to make sense of the number in the Mishnah. So this was two separate things. Number seven was a rea that had a hole through it. Number eight was a rea that was missing. We'll see what exactly would have to be missing in order to make a trefa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, well, now let's not jump the gun here. When you say there's a hole in the lungs, there's often a hole in a lung. The question is, how deeply did that hole puncture? It's only when the hole reaches all the way down to the bronchi themselves, and the Gemara will discuss what that is referring to. I mean, obviously, there's different size bronchi and different places that it could be referring to, all of which the Gemara will talk about. So this is all part of number seven, the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama here, or is it just a description, and it's not really a machlokas, what Rabbi Shimon is saying. He's just explaining what that hole would be, all to be seen. Additional nikuvais, those are additional puncture wounds. So when I say wound, I mean, obviously it could be, the source could be anything. It doesn't have to be a wound in the literal sense that somebody wounded it. It could be a bacterial infection. It could be even something that it had been born with, and so on. So, number nine gives us an additional nekuva. And what is that? That is the nekuvat hakeva. So now, the keva, generally speaking, when you be talking about things like human beings, the keva would be very simple to define. That nekeva would simply be the stomach. Problem is that since you're talking about ma'ale geira, the only animals that you're allowed to eat are all ruminants, and therefore it cannot digest its grass with just a stomach. It has to first have an awful lot of work done on grass in order to break it down sufficiently to get into its stomach. So it actually has four different stomachs. Now, these four different stomachs are named the keres. So what we have over here is, first it goes into a keres. A keres means like a fat parch. That's the rumen itself. And over there, there's a lot of action, but it's not so much the muscular action, it's bacterial action. And that gives the grass a lot of time to break down because of bacteria. And now, for the first time, instead of all of the cellulose, we've got elements that you can actually digest, but it's not yet ready to be digested with digestive fluids. So it moves from there into what's called the Beit HaKosot. The Beit HaKosot is the place of the cups, and the reason why it's called that is because it really has all through it. If you take a look at a beta kosot, the entire inside is lined by little cups. And those little cups are essentially what creates the cuts. So each cup, the fluid, the mixture that flows into it, settles down in these holes, like balls, little balls, and it makes these cuts. Now, these cuts are regurgitated, and they're going all the way up back to the mouth, and the chewing takes place in the mouth again, now that it's ready to be broken down, re-swallowed, and now it goes into, now here's the weirdest thing, it goes into what is clearly the masas, which is the place where things dissolve. However, because of the tour constantly refers to the masas as the hemses, and he adds an additional hey, so it's not ha-masas, it's ha-hemses, which is very strange, but which became the standard way of actually pronouncing the masas. It now has become the hemses, and no one will know what you're talking about if you walk into a yeshiva and you start talking about the masas. They say, the who? Was that the massage parlor? What was a masas? And actually, that is the correct way to pronounce it, but we'll call it the hemses in deference to the tour and the way that it's become part of every yeshiva boy's vocabulary, that is, those strange yeshiva boys who ever get around to learning chulin. So, and finally, there's a real stomach, and that is the keva. So each one of these things is a completely different, as far as the Latin names are, you know, the beta kosot, you'll probably read about the reticulum, and you'll read about the rumen, which of course would be the keres, and you'll read about the omasum, which is, again, the hemses, and you'll read about the keva, which is really the stomach, which is called the abomasum. Okay, so these are the different, we'll see what the dinim are of these different stomachs, but the number 9 that we were talking about is actually the real stomach, the fourth stomach, the abomasum. If there was a hole through that, and if, number 10, there was a hole in the gallbladder, and number 11 would be nikvu hadakin, again, these are all punctures. So if we make a list of punctures, we're going to have a lot of them. Nikvu hadakin, a hole through the intestines. Number 12, how about if the keres hapnimit got a hole in it? Now, what exactly is the keres hapnimit? That the Gemara is going to have to go into to try to figure out. The keres is a hole, as we said before. That is that first area, a fat paunch, which is where the bacterial breakdown takes place. But what is the keres hapnimit? What is the inner part of the keres? That's not clear, and we'll talk about that. And number 12 is getting back not to a hole, but rather to a nikra rov. So this would be another one of the cases that would be similar to psukas. This would be something that was torn open. But if there's just a hole in a little bit of the keres achitzona, again to be defined, then it wouldn't be a trefes, only if most of it was torn. Rabbi Yehuda says, what is the shear of that tear? It depends on the size of the animal, not on the species, but on the size. So whatever comes first is the size of the tear. If it's a large animal, once it reaches to this a tear of one tefach, that would passel it as a trefa. If it's a small animal, then you don't need one tefach because you already would have torn the rove before you get to the tefach. So whichever comes first, therefore Rabbi Yehuda is clarifying when it says nikra rova chitzona, it might not necessarily in a small animal, again, this doesn't mean a small species, a small animal, a small individual, it might be that it's less than that, because once it gets to in a big animal, it might be less than a rov, because once it gets to the shear of a tefach, it doesn't need to have rov anymore. Another case of a nikuva would be number 14, and that would be the hemses As I say again, I hate saying it that way, but what can you do? The Hem says, beta kosot shenikvu lachutz. So remember that beta kosot is actually directly connected to the hemses, because as the cud is chewed and comes back down, it goes straight through the beta kosot into the hemses directly. And therefore, if there was a hole between these two stomachs, between the second stomach and the third stomach, that would not be possible, because anyway, these two stomachs open into each other. That's why the Mishnah specifies shenikvu lachutz, that it was actually open into the abdomen, not into the, actually was in the abdominal cavity, but it wasn't open to each other. That would not be considered to be a trefa. Then, number 16 is a completely new type of trefa, which is called nifula. A nifula is where an animal fell from a height, nafla min hagag, and we cannot detect any trefus whatsoever. We looked over the whole animal. We don't see any kind of problem. Every single organ examined in itself, even with an MRI, shows absolutely no damage. Nonetheless, if it hasn't been 24 hours that the animal survived the fall, then if you shechted it, it would be a trefa because of concussion. Not a head concussion, but rather risuk evarim. So one of the trefas is the overall systemic impact of impact. And this is called risuk, shaking up all of the various evarim. And if you haven't seen that the animal survives 24 hours after that, then it's not going to be actually a trefa. If it does survive, it won't be a trefa any longer. So this is like a trefa for a day. And the next case, number 17, would be if most of its ribs, and this has nothing to do with falling, this is most of its ribs were broken without a fall that would have created risuk evarim or nafula. And the Gemara will discuss how to define most ribs. And the classic trefa, of course, is number 18. And that would be the drusat hazev, an animal that was actually attacked specifically by a wolf. Now, when we say a wolf, it's not only a wolf, because there are other particular animals that create trefas, but not every animal makes a trefa, because the trefa that we're referring to here is the clawing itself and not the noticeable damage to an organ. And the reason for this is because of what the Gemara calls the ZRR, the poison that's in the clawing, which does not mean that there's an injection of poison, which there is not in these animals, but there is an extremely intense collection of very, very many pathogens and all types of fungi and the most awful things, in which if you get clawed by one of these things, you need very rapid attention because of the fact that it actually creates terrible breakdowns because of those pathogens. So this is Dafka, the wolf. The lion, we'll talk about, review it in a moment, and we'll see in the Gemara what type of things we worry about. So Rabbi Yudamer, it's true that in a behema daka, now this does not mean a small animal, this means a small animal, as opposed to before when it meant a small animal. Here, it's a small animal, and that's a behema daka, so it's referring to a goat or to a sheep. So if it's a small animal, then a ze'ev is actually so dangerous that that's called a trefa. If it's a large animal, meaning a large animal, that is to say if it's like a bovine, so the drusat ari, it would need to have a lion claw it in order to make it a trefa if it's a species of large animals. And when it comes, now some, we're going to see whether this is dafka part of the Ma'amar of Rabbi Yehuda, who was the one who started telling us the differences between the species. So it may be that this piece that we're talking about over here, it's actually a machlokas in the Rishonim, whether this is a continuation of Rabbi Yehuda who made that difference in the species, he also makes a difference in the species of a trefa for a bird, even though we're not talking about birds here, we're talking about elotrefas beveima, specifically. So, there's also a difference in drisa, and that is, once we're talking about drisa, so we talk about drusata zev or drusata ari, we're talking also in a large bird or a small bird. So a drusata nates in a small bird, it's not exactly clear, but a small bird would be, you know, something typical like a yonah and so on. So if it's a nates, some type of hawk, perhaps not 100% clear. Rashi gives French names, but I don't know what they are. And Drew says, Hagas, it would require, in the case of a large bird, so let's say you got a turkey, then it will, or even a chicken, would require a Drushas Hagas. Again, it isn't clear what a gas is, could be. Some say it's a hawk, some say it's a falcon. All right, Machokas in Halacha L'Maisa, what type of bird would actually create a carapace just by inserting its claws without causing any organic damage that we can see? The general rule is that if there's something that causes an absolutely terminal situation so that within 12 months the animal cannot survive, then that is considered a trefa, even though obviously it's not the animal. It's kol she'en kamoha chaya, something like this. Obviously, an individual animal, I mean, individual cases can be way off the regular scale. But what we're talking about is the norm, kamoha, kol she'en kamoha chaya. It's not, nothing is 100% in these organic defects. All right, so now we seem to have a very simple list of 18 different things that are going to cause a situation of trefas. And just to review them very quickly again, you've got a hole through the esophagus, you've got a tear in the cone and the trachea, you have a cranial membrane with a hole in it, you've got a hole through the heart all the way into an internal chamber, you've got a tear in the spinal cord, the liver has been completely removed, the lung has a hole in it, or there's something internally missing in the lungs, or you have a hole in the keva, which is the stomach, the actual abomasum, the fourth stomach. You have a hole in the gallbladder, a hole through the intestines. You have the first stomach that had a hole through it, but only the area which is pneumit, which we haven't defined yet, or the external area, which hasn't been defined yet, which is, again, mostly nikra or one tefach, depending on the size of the animal. If there's a hole to the outside of the hemsis or the beta kosot, this is called one thing, not two, because they go together, go straight from one to the other, not the whole, but these two stomachs. Or you have a nefula, something that fell from a height, or didn't fall, but its ribs were broken, most of its ribs, to be defined, or a drusa. And we had a whole discussion, what type of animal is a drusa for a mammal, what type of animal is a drusa, what type of bird is a drusa for a bird. And then we end with a general klal. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Remez l'trefa min haTorah minayin. Where does the Torah tell us a hint that there's this concept of trefa? Huh? What the heck? What is he talking about? Minayin? What about the good old holy book, you know, Rish Lakish? It does say, Basar Basada trefa lo tochelu. What are you asking? No, I mean, Remez l'trefa she'en achaya min haTorah minayin. Where do we get the idea that a trefa doesn't survive? Like, we made this rule in the Mishnah, but I don't know. That seems to be guesswork. It says in the Mishnah, Diktani Sefer Zeh Klal Kol She'en Kamoha Chaya is a trefa. So, obviously, we know from somewhere, Miklal the trefa in a chaya. But where? Where does it say that? Minolon. Ah. Oh, okay. Dichtiv. So now, continues Reish Lakish, I'll tell you where. Dichtiv zot achaya asher tochlu. This is the living thing that you can eat. We discussed this pasuk before by the Misukenet, and that means something that can live and survive long term. Chaya echol, acheina chaya lo techo, which seems to be saying that that is Rubasubasada Trefa, is being addressed by these words, chaya, mechol de trefa lo chaya. Well, I mean, what about according to Madi Omar, who holds that a trefa can live? Where does he get that from? Why doesn't he jump to the conclusion that you jump to? Actually, he learns it from the same pasuk. It says, Zota chaya, which means these are the chayot that you can eat, but there's other living animals that can survive long term that you cannot eat. Chaya acheret lo techol. And that is a reference to the trefot, but that would mean that a trefa can live. Well, that's a good point. It does say Zota chaya. So why did Reish Lakish not actually learn that and say that from here we see that a trefa can live? Ah, because he uses the Zota chaya to tell me what the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel learned from that word Zot. Zot means you're pointing to something. It's a demonstration. So that this tells us, the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, why does it say Zot as if you're pointing to it? This is the animal you can eat. This teaches us, Melamich et tafasa kadosh baruch hu mikol min v'min v'aralo l'moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu was given a show and tell by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, he is not himself a hunter, a biologist, like the Gemara says elsewhere. V'chiboshe knigni haya. I'm going to say, like, why, how does Moshe Rabbeinu, is the zoologist that he's talking about all these species? HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him every one of them. V'omar lo zot echol, zot lo techol. So that we know precisely what those animals are. So, wait a minute. So then, didn't Reish Lakish need it for that too? So, Vidachanami, I mean, didn't those who learned the Trefa Chaya from there need it too? Vidachanami, they have to know this idea, no? I mean, that's the simple meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated it. You're right. Enachinami, that cannot be the marker that Trefa Chaya either. Okay, so where do we know Trefa Chaya? Trefa Chaya minale. Actually, there's another lima that we learned from Rabbi Yishmael's Beis HaMedrash, and there was a braita that goes like this, the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. This is the Vidalta Ben Achaya HaNeachelet Uben Achaya Asher Lo Te'achel. What is that talking about? There is a chaya that you can eat and a chaya that you cannot eat. What are those? Those are the Shmona Esrei Trefot Shenemru the Moshe Misinai. So since these are both called chayot, living animals, there are obviously living animals that are kosher to eat, which are not trefa, and living, meaning in the full sense of organic life to be able to survive, that are trefa, which shows us that trefa can be chaya. And we mention 18 trefas, and of course, we make the mistake of thinking, well, obviously those 18 trefas are the 18 trefas that we just listed in the Mishnah very carefully. 1 through 18, right? But we know that there are other trefas besides that 18, so how come we just ignore those? What about, now here's our first attack, a list of other trefas that seem to be completely out of range of the Mishnah. What about the famous basjar? We've got this basjar, and that stands obviously for four things, which we're going to see. So these are the basjars, and we've got the Shav Shmaitzitza, which you finally find out is not the name of a book only. It's actually a group of trefas that are called the seven Shmaatot. This means that these are Ma'amorim of Amoraim. And that gives us at least 7 plus 4 more than the 18 in the Mishnah. And I'm going to explain what they are right now. And we're going to try to figure out how come the Mishnah ignores them. Well, let's take a look at our basjar and see exactly what things we can learn from our basjar. Wow. Okay. So we're going to go through each one of these separately. It turns out that the basjar is actually not Beit Samach Gimel Resh, because we couldn't use the real names, because two of them would have ended up being exactly the same. So we'll have to take a look at the Bhaskar, why it stands not for Beit Samach Gimel Resh as the first letter, but actually we had to substitute, because we would have had two Cheses, so we had to substitute the second letter. Now, before we get to understanding what all of these are, do we really care, you see? Because the Tana never said 18, did he? He just listed Elu Trefus Babahima. So you can't ask him. I mean, he never claimed that he's telling you 18 Trefus. So therefore, for him, you could say, Bishlam Alatana Didan, I told you certain things, and then I told you Zeh Klal, didn't I? Well, the Zeh Klal is coming to tell me all of the other things that I didn't mention. So, okay, we'll have to understand why, but I certainly, if I've got 11 more Trefus here between Bhaskar and Shemaitza, then they could all be included in the Zeh Klal. But the Tana Divei Rabbi Shmuel said beferish, there are 18 Trefus. But how can he say that? We just listed 18, and we now added Bhaskar. So let's take a look now at each one, as if each one is a separate question. The two Lekka, there's no more than 18. I mean, what about the bait of Bhaskar, which is a behema shenechtechu raglea min ha'arkuva v'lamala? If you cut the leg, this is the hind leg specifically, above the arkuva. Now we're going to see that the arkuva is not so poshut what the arkuva is. We're going to be talking about it in the Gemara, and there's even something of a stira here in Rashi about what arkuva we're referring to. Remember that when you look at a cow walking down the street, or I should say the path, as you're trying to take a walk with your little girl up in the mountains, and there comes a big cow at you, and you start walking the other way, you'll notice that those long legs, those very pretty long legs, well, guess what? They're not legs. That whole bottom part is not a leg. It's a foot. And what is, if you take a look at the human foot, it has exactly those parts, except that in the animal, it has moved, shifted to be upwards, so that the entire bottom part is actually connected to what looks like the knee, but which is really the ankle. So the ankle could be like a foot and a half up from the ground, and that is the ankle of the foot with exactly the same bones that you have in the human foot. The metatarsus and all of the pieces that are here have become so elongated that it actually looks like this is the leg and not the foot. So the ankle is also, since it looks like a knee, it's called a knee, so it's called an arkuva. But that is called, we'll see later on, the arkuva hanimkeret im harosh. That is the arkuva that's generally sold together with the head, because it's not really very useful unless you want to make pecha and reduce it into gelatin. But I think the svarim between us would run the other direction. But in any event, that's called the arkuva nimkeret al marosh, or the arkuva tachtona, the lower knee. But it isn't a knee. It's actually an ankle. The real arkuva, you can barely see on a cow because it's completely covered by the musculature of the body itself. So you can make it out as it walks. You can see the knee as it's covered by the side of the cow. That is the real arkuva, which is, of course, the joint between the thigh bone, the yorech, or the femur bone, and between the shok, which is the real leg, the tibia. So that place is the arkuva. Which arkuva we're talking about here, that we'll see. But in any event, if you cut a leg there, then the animal becomes a trefa. Now, how come this case isn't mentioned here? This makes 19, and you said there's only 18. Well, he may hold our Tana here, who said the 18, the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, he might hold Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's pshat. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar held that since, theoretically, you could cauterize that place where the leg was cut off and the animal would survive, then it's not called a trapha. If it has an immediate treatment that would have been available, it's not one of the traphas. So maybe that's what the Tanit Rebbe Shmuel holds. No, no, no. Why not? Because what difference does it make if it can be cauterized? Remember, this is the Tanit Rebbe Shmuel. The Tanit Rebbe Shmuel says a trapha can live, so you haven't proven anything. You could cauterize it, it can live. You could do that to any trapha, I don't know. I thought traphas don't depend on whether they can live. So, who are we talking about here? We're talking about the Tanit Rebbe Shmuel. He was the only one that said anything about 18. So what good is it? But the Tanit Rebbe Shmuel is bedafka the man the Amor says treifa chaya svirale. What kind of stupid answer is that? Oh, okay, fine. All right. I didn't mean that. I don't mean it's because he holds like Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar svara. I meant he holds like Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar says that it's the beis is kosher, and it's not a trefa. Forget about the logic of it, okay? It's true that he gives his svara. We don't hold of his svara. We just don't believe that there ever was one of the Yotchas trefas were ever one of these. Okay, let's take a look at the next one of the Baschars. And that is, the Samach is the second letter of the word chisaron, because there's going to be two cheses, so we have to move to the second letter. So, a chisaron bashidra. Now, I'm sorry that Barnea seems to find this boring. Maybe he's learned it too many times. Is he falling asleep or he's wide awake?
There's some cutting edge.
Cutting edge, okay. So, this chisaron is talking about a Mishnah that we learned in Ayalais, remember? Because when we were talking about Tumas Oya, so we learned in the Mishnah, and I realized, Kama chisaron bashidra, when we talk about the bones that need to be of the mace in an oil to be metame. So if you have a chisaron, it says, doesn't say how much yet, but if there's a chisaron in the shidra, so like this, you don't need. It depends, remember, how much. Normally, just a piece of bone is only metame through, at the most, through carrying it. So it would be maga or masa. The only time that we have an ohel is where we have either rov binyano, a rov minyano, or if you have a gogolet and a complete spinal column, that is metame ba'ohel. But if the spinal column is missing, then it's not going to be metame ba'ohel. So now comes along the Mishnah to define what is called missing. So Beit Shammai, who is very machmir, he says, well, it needs to be missing two full vertebrae. If it's missing two full vertebrae, then it's no longer going to be metame ba'ohel, unless, of course, it has one of the other shiurim. And Beis Hillel says, no, akula. Even if it's missing one vertebrae, it's already not metame ba'ohel. Now, Rav Yehuda says that Shmuel pointed out that this machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is true even about trefa. Now, of course, by trefa, Beis Hillel turns out to be a chumrah, because Beis Hillel is saying if even one vertebrae is missing, then the animal is a trefa. Whereas Beit Shammai is saying no, only if two vertebrae are missing. So in terms of the halacha, we now have chisaron b'shidra as the samach of the baschar, and that means that we are missing this din of v'chein l'treifa. What happened to the missing 19th treifa in the Tanna d'Vei Rebbe Yishmael? Ah, that's a good point. I'll tell you. The Hemses and the Beit HaKosot, which you were assuming to be separate, two separate ones, are actually one. So let's count that as one, because anyway, the Hemses and the Beit HaKosot are right next to each other, right? So now take one out of the 18 and put in this new one. Put in the chisaron, and now you've got just 18 listed, even though it's the same 19, but we're going to call two of them one. Well, okay, What about the gimel of the batchar? The gimel is the geluda, and the geluda is an animal whose skin has been removed. However, it might have been removed through actual flaying it. It might have been removed by disease. Might have been removed by overwork. But in any event, it's a trefa. So that the skin is also an absolutely critical organ. And if the skin is removed and there's not enough left to regenerate, then that animal is doomed. And it's one of the trefas. So now there should be a new number 19. And that is the gluda. So a good way to remember that, by the way, is that they make glue out of horse's hide, right? So a gluda would be a removal of the hide. Good way to remember. Gluda. So look, Rebbe Meir. Well, apparently the Tana Tevei Rebbe Shmuel holds like Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Meir says that a gluda is actually kosher. Okay, excellent. I'm going to have that later on in the Mishnah. But what about the last of the Bazjars? Now, the last of the Bazjar is a case of a Charuta, but we couldn't use the Chet again because it would be the same as the Chisaron. So we put in the Resh. Now, a Resh, a Charuta, is an anaphylactic reaction of the lungs. So let's say the animal got stung by a bee, or the animal was shocked by some kind of event. Lightning went off nearby. So this happens to humans as well. If something causes a shriveling up where the lungs turn literally into like a hard piece, they can no longer function for respiration, that's called charusa. It means shriveled. And that itself is a separate trefus. It doesn't cause a hole, but it's actually a separate 19th trefa, according to you. So how come you don't list in the Tana Tevei Rebbe Shmuel's Braisa 19 trefas? Why only 18 trefas? Well, remember that the din of the Mora is actually a shita, as we're going to see later, that is said by Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, but it wasn't universally held. And the Chachamim hold that a gallbladder with a hole is not a trefa. So therefore, they don't hold of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So take out the gallbladder and put in the charusa. All right, that's great. So you've handled Bazjar. What are you going to do with another 7 different trefas? How are you going to fit them in? What about the Shev Shmaitzitza, the 7 different Amoroyim that told us dinim about trefas? Let's do them one by one. Let's take the first one. Rav Masna said, "Buka de atma de shof biduch de trefa." Now, this is fairly common. It doesn't sound like it should be so awful. The ball of the thigh popped out of its socket. Now, that happens all the time, and it takes a lot of work, but you can actually just pop it back in again if you move it around in the right way. And as a matter of fact, little human babies have a tendency to do this, which is why you shouldn't be swinging them too hard, because they do exactly this. They pop out. And it's a heck of a job sometimes getting them back. So what's so bad about this? So the Gemara is going to explain that the only din of Buka de Atma is in a case where the nivim were destroyed. Now, as you know, there are connective tissues that keep the ball in the actual hip bone, and if those were ripped and ruined so that the nive were nechal, they were eaten up, then you've got a problem. And that is considered to be a treif according to Rav Masna, and that is the first of the Shev Shmaitza. The second of the Shev Shmaitza, the Omar Rochish Bar Papa Mishbei Derab, even if only one kidney has a cancerous disease that is moving into, it doesn't have to be cancer necessarily, but it's growing, and it reaches the groove of the kidney, as we'll see. So lokta bakuya achas even, it's considered to be a trefa. That's the second. The third is a fascinating Mishnah, which is well known today. If you remove a spleen, there's no problem, and the animal is kosher. But, now that's a Mishnah, but Rav Avira pointed out, Mishmei de Rava, this is only if you remove the spleen, But if the spleen has a hole in it and you don't remove it, it is a trepha. So counterintuitively, the complete removal of the spleen is life-saving, whereas leaving a hole in the spleen is a trephus. So lo shina la nital, it's only if you remove the spleen, but nikev, if you leave the spleen with a hole, then it's actually going to be a trepha. That's the third. The fourth of the Shev Shmaitza is v'yomer Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omer Shmuel. Simanim shenidaldelu beruban trefa. If there's a detachment that was in different places, so they're still connected. Both of these simanim are still connected to the jaw. But if you take a look at the connective tissue, you will see that most of the tissue is not there any longer. So that even though it's being held in place, that itself is a trefa. Okay, that's number four. And now we've got the next three. V'omer Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Omer Rav Masna, Omer Shmuel. If a rib was pulled out, meikara, it's pulled out from the actual spine. We're not talking about a broken rib. So the broken, we said, if most of the ribs were broken. But over here, the rib was pulled out, and we're going to see later on in the Gemara that actually the half of the vertebra that was attached to the rib was pulled out along with that rib. That would make it a trepha. If a skull was crushed, even though there was no hole that had penetrated the cranial membrane, it's only the bone that was mostly crushed, nonetheless, it's also a trepha, even though there's nothing that is actually gone from the bone itself. It's all there. It's just been crushed. And there's no damage to the cranial membrane. That itself is a trepha. And a basar hachofeh et rov hakares berubo. There's also the abdominal wall, and it covers most of the keres. And that is actually, if it was torn, it is considered to be a trepha. So here we've got seven different trephas that you completely ignored. How are you going to explain that? Ah, I'll tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to recognize that the brisa of the Tanit v'Rabbi Shmuel was listing sets. It wasn't listing cases. Now that changes everything. Because, look, if you take all of the cases of the Nekuvot, right? So we've got a lot as we went through the various list of Nekuvot. So we've got a lot of things that were actually Nekuvais. If you take all of those Nekuvais, so we had Nekuvat HaVeshet, and we had the Nekuva of the cranial membrane, and we had Nekuva of the lathe, and we had the Nekuva of the Rea, and we had the Nekuvas HaKeva, and we had the Nekuvas HaDakin, and we had the Keres HaPnimi Shenikva, and we have the Hemsis and Beit HaKosar Shenikva. Put them all together, and what do you get? Eight. So take those eight, make them one set of Nekuvot, that gives you seven spaces. Those seven spaces fit naturally with the Shev Shmaitzitza. So basically, there was always 18. Very neat. except that it raises...
Rabbi Arneo wanted me to say it's a hole in wood.
Okay, very good. That's very good. That is very good, says the Gemara. But if we're talking about sets, so then we should count all of the psukais as a set. And you listed two separate psukais. You had the spinal cord and you had the kana. Both of them were psukais. How come you want to list them as two? Now we should move them into one set. And now you're going to be missing. You only have 17 dreifas. Ha-ha! Chashvino b'chad and batzeluhu chada. Not to mention that the case of Rav Avira, Mishmei de Rava, the case of the spleen was also a puncture. Remember, if the spleen was removed, it's okay. It's only if the spleen was punctured that it's not okay. So then we're back in trouble again, because now you're missing one, because you'd have to include that in the list of punctures. And how come you now? So now you only have 16. Oh, man. What are you going to do now? Ah, That's a simple thing. Remember, we had taken out two cases before, right? We said, remember, we were trying to fit everything in. So we said, okay, I guess what we'll have to do is we'll have to take out the din of the cutting off the leg in the Baskar list. And we're going to have to take along away because we'll pass like Rabbi Meir that the Gluda, so on, put them back in. Maybe they actually do agree to put them back in. So now we have the full Pasgar, and we have the full Charusa, and now we've got our beautiful total of 18, which include two sets, one of Nekuvais that have nine different Nekuvais in them, and one of them are the Psukais that have two Psukais, and now we are happy. So therefore, when he said, these are the Shmona Esrei Trefes, then we can actually fit them all in. So what do you think about that? A nice, very efficient bringing together of all of the trefes that we know so far, and perhaps it would be worthwhile our going over all of them again, or you're getting bored. Would it be nice to review them? So let's do a review and put everything together so that we have all of our trefes. We've got, first we have in our Mishnah and in the Brisa the Tanan v'Rabbi Shmuel, we've got Nekuvot, and those Nekuvot in the end we put together. So, I mean, we could do it that way maybe. We could just sort of list all the Nekuvot. Maybe that would be an easier way to do it. Let's take a look. Let's try to do it that way. Let's make a list of all of the Nekuvot first, and then we'll talk about the various different things, including the list of the Psukot. So we'll start off with the Nekuvot, which we ended up saying that this is all one thing. So then we're going to even put back in our gallbladder and so on, and that way we could have everything, right? Okay, so then ignoring what the others are for a moment, we should have our eight Nekuvot. So we have actually nine. So we have the Veshet, Nekuvas HaVeshet. We have Nekuva of the Kruma Moach. We have Nekuvas HaLev. We have Nekuvas HaRe'ah. We have the Nekuvas HaKeva. We have the Nekuva of the Dakin. We have the Nekuva of the Keres HaPnimis. We have the Nekuva of the Hemsis and the Beit HaKosot. And we have the Nekuva of the Tchol. So that would give us everything. And now we're going to be able to simply put back in the Nekuva in the gallbladder. So that would give us 10 Nekuvot. Then we've got our two Psukais, which are the spinal cord. And we also have the psuka that turns out to be more than just a trefa, but the psuka that's listed here in our Mishnah, and also before Rabbi Akiva had Harata, we have the psuka of the Veshet as well. Oh, I see Tsuri's taking it all in. Excellent. So that gives us first our list by these particular sets. Then we've got our lists. So our lists are the Basgar list and the Shev Shmaitza list. And so why don't we go through the Basgar? And the Gemara put the Basgar into separate pieces. It didn't actually list them together with the Siman, and it went through all of them separately. So we'll just keep it together as the Siman to make it something like a list. So we start off with a behema that was nechtaka ragleha, and it was cut in a way that is at the arkuva vilamala, and the arkuva, we said, might be the arkuva hanimkeret im harosh, or it might be the arkuva ha'olyona. So that would be the base of the basgar. And we talked about whether it matters, whether it can be cauterized or not, and so on. And then we had the samach of the basgar. The samach was chisaron. That was a reference to the Mishnah in Actually, the main Mishnah was an Ayalos, but we applied it also to Trefes, and that is if vertebrae are missing. So the Chisorin B'Shidra, according to Beit Hillel, is even if one vertebra is missing, it's considered to be a Trefa. And that is despite the fact that there was nothing that affected the spinal cord. And then we had the Gimel of the Bazgar, and that, you'll remember, the Simon I gave you for glue. That's the gluda, and it means that the skin has been removed. And then we had the Charusa, which is the Resh of the Bazgar, and that was anaphylaxis, which was a reaction of the lung to something, either a sudden fright or a pollutant or bee bite or an allergen. This is why people carry around adrenaline. If they're sensitive to these bites, it's because of this, and they can't breathe, and that's because they're having an anaphylactic reaction. So that was the Bazgar. Now we also had the Shev Shmeitz, another group. So we're doing all of this with grouping. So we had the Buka, the Atma, the Shof Midurte, and that's got a nice ring to it. You know, the Buka, the Atma. So you'll remember that one. It's always at the top of the list here. Buka, the Atma, the Shof Midurte, only in the case of the Nive being ruined. And then we've got the case of Lokta Bukulia. And then we have the case, well, I shouldn't say it because we already listed it in the Nekuvais, but it was Nikev the Tchol. So to keep it together with Shev Shmeitzer, just need to remember that the Tchol appears twice in the list of the Nekuvais, but it's also one of the Shev Shmeitzers. And then we had Simanim Shenedal de Luberuban. And then we had a rib that was ripped out together with half of the vertebrae, of its vertebra. And then we have the Gugolet, Shnechpesa, Beruba. And then we have the Boser HaChofa, Es Rov HaKares. And that actually gave us the groupings, the simple groupings that we have of the Nekuvais and of the Psukais and of the Baskars and of the Shev Shmeitzes. However, there were a lot of things that did not fall into any of those, so we got to make sure we don't forget that. So let's remember that we also have things that don't fit into some type of neat way of expressing them. So we had a Rea Shechosra, which we didn't include in any of these groups. That's a Chisorin. And we also have a actual Nefula, something that fell, something that had most of its ribs broken. So we had Nefula, we had Nishtaburov Tzilotea, and we had a Drusa. That sort of completes the list today. So that gives us the 18 that we had originally listed, plus an additional 4, which was 22 of the Bhaskar, plus an additional 7, which gives us 29. A nice small beginning to a full list of trefes. And think we just managed to do that all just in one day, which is really very special. Even Richie is happy. Can you imagine? Great. Okay, so we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, for our next exciting episode. Same time, same station, in Elu Trefes.
Much more fluid in between.
Ah, okay. You didn't wave your magic genie thing today. I'm used to seeing this little spirit conjured up, and that gets me to drink.
It was my grandmother Leo Shalom's teapot.
Very nice. Kol tov, everyone. Thank you so much for being there.